to you guys. Don't take up any more time. Thank you. Let's welcome, shall we?
Are you okay with this, Matt? Sorry? Yeah. I'll walk. Evening. Can you hear it? Might not need this. It might be okay. I bellow. It's a Bargoid accent, I think. Let's get rid of it. Do you mind if I just put this somewhere, though? Oh, watch me do this. That's fantastic. But I won't go to Luke 4 now, so we'll leave that, because for time, okay? So I won't go there, so praise God. God's good, isn't he? Because of the time, I'd like to spend, I know Gareth would probably appreciate this as well, instead of teaching, I just want to share what we've, Jesus said, go and do everything that you've seen, or tell John what you've seen and heard, and et cetera, yeah? So wouldn't it be okay with you if I just shared what I've seen and heard, participated with the Lord in, and watched just people get set free? Does that sound good? Now, you expect him to be actually healed this evening, for a start. Amen? Yeah, that's a good point, Reese. That one, that's really good. And just in worship, I thought, Lord, what do you want me to bring specifically out of this kind of thing when we talk about healing? Healing is not just like a doctrine. It's actually a practice, isn't it, of the kingdom. In Matthew 4, do you want to turn there, if you would, with me? Because I'm going to skip a couple of things that I was going to bring. Because Gareth just did it far better and shorter than what I could do. So let's just go to Matthew 4:17. And this is Jesus speaking. And he said this. Or rather, this is what was happening. From that time on, after Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, 40 days, 40 nights, he said, from that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is what? At hand, or come near. The kingdom's within reach. Jesus showed up on planet Earth. He brought his world with him. He brought his presence. He brought his rule, his reign, and demonstrated it by what? Healing the sick, casting out devils or demons, critters, whichever way you want to look at it. Okay, in other words, setting the oppressed free. And when I watch that today, it blows my mind. I grew up in a kind of, I got saved, I became a Christian when I was 16, so I'm 27 now. I'm 28 in like 2 weeks. So if you count the leap years, I'm probably 28, I think. And Tim's about 28, 3 days later than me. I don't know if that's prophetic, kind of death, resurrection, but at least I go first, isn't it? And the thing was, for most of my Christian life, I never saw a miracle. I became a Christian because I fell in love with Jesus. And I'm more in love, I can tell you this evening, I'm more in love with Jesus Christ this evening than what I was 11 years ago. He is everything to me. I love spending time with him. I love seeing him at work. I love spending time in his presence, in his word, allowing his word to evangelize this top 2 inches here, as opposed to the cultural surroundings that we find ourselves in and the world views. Romans 12 says this, and I present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is my best service, my reasonable act of worship or service then. And I'm just getting a sense this evening that God is calling each of us to just lay our lives on the altar this evening afresh and saying, God, would you do to me what you will? Now, that's a frightening prayer, isn't it? I remember when I became, this is true, I'm not making this up this time. I'm joking. When I was 15, I became officially, or 14 rather, I became officially the youngest drum teacher in the UK. In a qualified one. That's not bad, is it? That's not going. Drums was my everything. It was my idol then. I would spend about 12 hours a day on the weekend on the things. Quite a recluse and isolation kind of thing. You know what I mean? My neighbours was worried about me because I'm pale as, you know, pale as some sort of emulsion anyway. But and I just got a different shade of white when I go on holidays. But they would say, Reese, you look awful white. You're spending a lot of time. I said, yeah, but this is, I want to be this. I want to go to Berkeley and study music, et cetera, et cetera. Well, then I did a drum clinic, actually, taught on this drum clinic at 16 and got offered a sponsorship to go traveling around the country. And it was in the room, this is bizarre now, in the room that we now have Encounter House weekly gatherings in. And it was the week before I became a Christian. Now, all of a sudden then, I'm in bands, I'm doing, you know, kind of thing. I give up drinking before I was old enough to start. That's, you know, because I got saved. You know what I mean? That. And all of a sudden, I felt the Lord said, you need to lay that down. you are kidding me. Can I serve in the worship team? God, you know, that you know, they need a drummer, man. Do you know what I mean? That kind of thing. Because Tim was playing the drums at the time. And he's a pianist. He rolled a good 4-4 down, mind. You know, and I thought, well, I'd love to play. And then all of a sudden, the Lord said, no, lay it down. I said, really? One of the hardest things I had to do at that point was think about laying it down. The moment I actually said yes in the quiet place, God, you know what? That can go if you want it to go. I'm willing. The moment I did that, I never played in a band, you know, kind of secular band, if you want to call it that then, for about 9 years. And then I was in a meeting, Tim was preaching, and the Lord said, stand up at the back. Well, he didn't say that. Tim said, stand up. And I just felt a response to, I felt so, it was so convincing, I stood up. And so I stood, and he said, what do you want prayer for? I said, I don't know. I believe that God's sending me to a certain places to sort of kind of be a witness, be salt, be light, be someone who can bring light into a dark place then. Anyways, Tim prayed for me. Just the Lord opened it, believe the Lord's going to open the door. 24 hours later, 48 hours later, on the Tuesday then, that was a Sunday, I had a call from someone who was in London saying, can you basically do this band thing? The drummer's dropped out for whatever reason. Anyway, long story short, at that point, when I was willing 9 years ago to lay my life on the altar and allow God to just use, take anything, add anything, take anything away. We sing that song, don't we? You give and take away, Matt Redmond thing. Yeah. Sometimes we've got to live it, haven't we, and kind of lay our lives down when we say, I'll give you all my worship, or some. Our lives is an act of worship to Jesus. But anyways, long story short then, coming up to the now, I've gone into these places, maybe places that people might not want to be, and I'm able to speak with bass players and sort of other musicians, trumpet players, guitarists, and we're just all standing before a gig, and he said, you're a Christian, and he said, yeah. So I'm an atheist. I said, yes, and? I said, what do you mean? I said, well, he said, there can't be a God, can they? I said, well, have you got anything wrong? He said, well, what do you mean, have I got anything wrong? Well, can I pray for you for anything? You want to see God move, don't you? And you know what? After a series of events of people exactly like that, God began to heal people in those contexts, begin to witness, begin to have his presence. One person went from an atheist to an agnostic, at least. Anyway, so I thought, fruitful. And he said, because I can't believe what you're telling me is a lie. You tell him stories of people who are oppressed and seen evil cast out and etc. And stuff that is oppressing them and tormenting them. And people who had cancers disappear. My nan became a Christian. I'll share this one with you. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at near. So this time the scene, we've got to just change this. Our worldview. Actually believe that Jesus' rule and reign is present in this room. This room right now, I don't know if you believe it, is pregnant with possibility, is pregnant with miracles, is pregnant with God's healing grace to flow through each and every one of us. And all I'm doing, and all people like Gareth and Tim, and people I know this year as well, is just simply participating. I couldn't heal a gnat's headache. Really couldn't. Because it's Jesus that does it. Because the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. And guess what? John 17 verse 3 says this, that this is eternal life, that they may know you. And guess what we've been? We've been grafted in with Jesus. We've been yoked to him. We now participate in this life called Trinitarian presence. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. It's a divine dance. It's like a waltz. Not that I can demonstrate a waltz this evening. Could you? No. I'm just checking, because you looked at me as if to say, yes, I can do that. But anyways, I grew up in this environment. I lay it all. Still didn't see a miracle. Driving back to sort of 2007, didn't see a miracle. Then I came to, it was about 2010, so that's only 7 years ago. Tim's then girlfriend, who's now his wife, Becky. My wife is Becky. His wife is Becky. It gets very confusing, doesn't it? So basically, we was in a prayer gathering. And it was the deadest prayer meeting I have ever been in my entire life. It was only four of us. That was the funny part. It was me, Tim, Beck, and Beck. And it was the worst prayer meeting, man, I have ever been in my entire life. And then I thought, man, something's going to happen here. So Becky, Tim's Becky then, his girlfriend then, was looking at me, or so I thought. What I didn't realize, I said, what's the matter, Beck? And she said, and then she turned her head. Well, what I didn't realize, I've been friends with her for a while, but when she took her glasses off, she had a turn in her eye. She was cross-eyed. And I was digging myself a hole, said stupid things then. I said, oh, I didn't realize that. Can I pray for you? I think I've never seen this before in my life anyway. So why don't we pray? So long story short, now she's had this cross turned in her eye since she was born. Got her on the passport, mother knows it, family knows it, everyone. She has tremendous headaches, severe kind of repetitive headaches that she was having. And we prayed, nothing happened. Prayed, nothing happened. God, please, would you just send your spirit to heal? Or God, would you please, we beg you, God, you know, she's a good Christian, she's wonderful, etc., etc. As if we more have more compassion than, you know, Father God. And all of a sudden, I felt, or a couple of us felt, this just changed the way we pray. Bear in mind, we've had no teaching on this at all. Literally, no training, you know, how to pray for the sick. At this point, I just thought, well, Jesus just said, I command this sickness to leave. Okay, so let's just do this weird thing. So, Tim, can you come here if that's all right, Brown? You know, you don't know what for yet, so I don't know why you're coming. Okay, so all we do, there's about three of us now, because obviously Becky's in the middle, and there's a sheepdog in the room as well, just to add colour to the situation, okay? And we just literally put our eyes on her eyelids. And we just went, in the name of Jesus, I just command that these eyes straighten out in Jesus' name. Then all of a sudden, only once, bear in mind, we begged for like hours. It was literally hours, as if, you know. And then only once, we said, in the name of Jesus, straighten out. And she goes, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. My eyes on fire. Her eyes started to flutter and it went pop, like that, right in front of all three of us. And then it popped back. I thought, well, I'm not standing here for 3 hours to watch it just go back. You know what I mean? And God's not a tease. He's really not a tease. He's intent on actually redeeming every part of our life. Wholeness, well-being, not just physical healing, emotional healing. You're doing a great job anyway there, Tim. Just stand there a minute. So anyways.
I'm not standing here for 3 hours.
No, that's to demonstrate. So anyways, and it went back. So we said, in the name of Jesus, command that eye to actually just turn, straighten out. And it went pop again. And this time we said, I just command that eye never, ever go back ever, ever again to that point. And these headaches, command you to go as well. Thanks, Tim.
It's okay.
Give Tim a round of applause, I think. That's excellent. Anyways, long story short, she went, my gosh. She literally jumps up, kisses the dog, poor Sam. Do you know what I mean? My dad has a detached bungalow in Ystrymynach. This was 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, bear in mind. And she's running around our... Now, I didn't encourage the kind of Pentecostal thing to happen. Do you know what I mean? The whole running around, you know, once you're healed and everything. But she literally opened my dad's front door and did a lap of the garden. Now, anyone, like, in bed, thinking, what is that noise? And it's like, hallelujah, Jesus, you're awesome. Anyways, she went home. My mother was freaked out. She had a passport photo of her eye that way, and now she could straight as a die. That was 7 years ago. Never once has that gone back. Never once. All the headaches gone completely. And I think that's pretty... Now, I think that's wonderful. That was the first time. Man, didn't see another miracle for 2 years. I went round when I was preaching and teaching. I was laying everything on that one testimony. I thought, I've got one. We've got one. We're going to say this testimony because God can heal. And so here we are tonight again to start with. Becky Oliver had a cross eye and now she's straightened out as a die. No more pain, straight good vision then. Yeah? And why am I saying this? It's because in Revelation 19 it says this, that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. That's encouraging, man. The testimony, when you give a testimony, you can literally prophesy to each and every one of us in this room that if we have something problem with our eyes, if we have a turn in our eye or whatever it is, that God can actually straighten that out this evening. Some people it bothers. I've seen people get healed of things like that. It doesn't really bother them anyway. But God still can heal. I remember my nan, who was 83 years of age when she got born again. I tried for years and years and years to convince her that Jesus was real. I'd sit down, have tea. I said, Nan, don't you realize you need Jesus? He's the way, the truth, and the life. And she would argue and argue and argue and whatnot. Anyways, she got so sick, man. The one night she was literally feeling really, really rough. And she had emphysema. And really, really struggled. Couldn't breathe. Thought she was literally dying. It was her own words when she was 83. I said, Nan, come to a meeting with me tomorrow. Well, actually, I already offered her that day, and she didn't want to. Then she rang me after this fit, you know, kind of in the morning, can I come to a meeting with you tonight? I said, yeah. Anyways, she comes to a meeting in the evening, and some fella prayed for her chest. Now, she'd already given her life to Jesus that night. Then all of a sudden, she said she felt tremendous heat all over her chest. Now, I took her to the... I was so scared to ask her how she was afterwards, mind. Just in case, you know what I mean? Because she's my nan. It's for some reason, it seems harder with family. It's easy with someone I don't know, I've just met on the street. But with my nan, who I've shared like testimonies with year after year after year until this point, she has this emphysema, and all of a sudden she says she's better. And I'm going, Nan, are you sure? Are you positive you were fine? Are you okay? And she said, yes, Reese. I said, okay. Well, I'm taking you to the hospital on Thursday, aren't I? I said, yeah, well, we'll find out then. Me, little faith. Do you know what I mean? Encouraging her, she can be healed. When she is healed, I'm like Thomas. Do you know what I mean? And took her to the hospital. She does that, what's it called? One of those, stick a thing on, they measure your oxygen, etc. Do you know what? Her oxygen was normal. She was completely healed. How amazing is that? That was my nan. And then all of a sudden, Mavis, her name was, if you want to know. Good Welsh Valley name that, isn't it? Right, May? And basically, this is another miracle about my nan. I wasn't going to share these ones, but I feel they're relevant. Or could be. Remember, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. What I'm speaking to you this evening, I'm not declaring what something that we've done, but we're actually declaring the good news of the kingdom by saying this can happen. And if it can happen to my nan, or this to Becky, or other people I'll mention, it can happen for you. Because the word of God says that God isn't a respecter of persons. Yeah? He's not a respecter of persons. I don't have the question to and the answers to everything, like why isn't everyone healed? I don't know. I'm not going to pretend that I do know. But I'm not going to make excuses either. Jesus has given us a clear command. Go into all the world, lay hands on the sick, and see them recover. Casting out demons, freely you've received, is the other part in Matthew 10 as well. Freely give. That first part was Mark 16, obviously. Just anyone wants to correct me that I mixed two Bible verses up there. Okay. So anyway, my nan then gets diagnosed with colon cancer. Scary. Really scary stuff. My grandfather died of cancer. He died of liver, you know, cancer at the time. And that disease has taken so many in my particular family that when I see people healed of that, I just want to scream when I see and go, thank you, Jesus. Because that disease is from the pit. I make no bones about that. I believe that. What it does, it destroys a person, doesn't it? If you've only seen someone who's recovered from it, you know what I'm on about. And if you've been affected by it. But I watched my nan. She goes in to have a biopsy. And they do whatever they do to have a biopsy. And they say, Mrs. Roberts, I don't know how to tell you this. Up until that point, all me and my wife did was pray once, really, really quietly, in a hospital room in the Heath. I knew I wouldn't have said I was full of faith. I wouldn't have said I felt anything. I wouldn't have said she experienced anything at that moment. Absolutely. You know, some people experience heat. Some people may feel something. There was nothing of that. It was free from any emotion, free from any kind of feeling then. Anyways, we just say in the name of Jesus, I just command that to get out of her body. Very, very quietly, and whispering almost because we're in a ward. You know what I mean? We're not going to shabba-dabba-do and that kind of thing. But then she goes to have a biopsy. Now, I'm in the house. I just got married at the time. That was 2012. I'm in the house and I have a phone call from my nan saying, Reese, I've just been down to have a biopsy, but they've actually sent me back up. I said, why? He said, because she had the two, what do you call it? That's the right answer. I don't know why I forgot that. That's an easy word, isn't it? Two scans there. One showing she had cancer. One showing there was no trace whatsoever of any form of cancer in her colon. Now, God healed her. Jesus, the kingdom of God came upon her. Amen? If he can do it for my nan, he can do it for you. All we have to do is repent and see what God has done. Psalm 100, 104, something like that. It said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, that God is good. Good. He's good all the time. God is good. This is what verse 2. I've read it yesterday. You should remember. Got one of those. Been a long weekend. I'm expecting to see things this evening. I'm going to share another one. Is that okay? Do you like stories? I mean, I can teach if you want. Hey, if you prefer a sermon, that's fine. You know, I've got it there. I'm not being lazy. Yeah? Go for it.
Just talk about what that repent means in this context.
Repent in this context. Good, good, good. What's that?
And then the stories, but just to clarify that.
Yeah. Repent and see. So repent means, there's a word in the scripture that says metanoia, doesn't it? Which means like the Greek word metanoia for our English word metamorphosis. Yeah, like a transformation of the heart. Now when you repent, it's literally you have one world view, isn't it? Usually we think of repentance in terms of sin. Do you get that? We usually think you're going this way and repentance means you turn around and you go this way. Actually, when you think of repentance, is literally allowing God's word, his spirit, to so transform us to look at things from how he sees them instead of the way that we experience them and feel. For example, I might feel, how can I put it? Does anyone feel like God's abandoned them sometimes? Does anyone feel like that? Have you ever been there? Raise your hand, be honest. I've got like this. You know what I mean? I felt it. But does it mean it's true? It's a load of rubbish, isn't it? You know, God, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Repentance brings to this place where you can actually experience the realities of the kingdom of God. And there's probably better ways to actually say this then. But it's learning to repent enough to see what the kingdom of God is like, to experience it. I remember Bill Johnson, I think it was, many repent to get into the kingdom, but few actually repent enough to see the kingdom of God. And what he means by that is we repent enough that we get our sins forgiven, and guess what? Glory, we're in heaven one day, yeah? But some people think that's what it's all about. But actually, when you allow the word to change your worldview, allow the spirit to convict us of things in our lives where we agree with what he says instead of what we actually think, there's a transformation that takes place. And it's a gradual thing. Repentance is an ongoing thing, I believe. Have you experienced that? It's just things I might think is impossible. But all of a sudden, just because I haven't seen it doesn't mean it can't happen. So instead of aligning, bringing kind of, I'm going to use this one if it's okay, Gar. Sometimes we make a theology because we don't see God moving. We make a theology out of our lack then of experience. I don't mean like in terms of skill. I just mean our lack of experience in the realm of the kingdom of God in terms of signs, wonders, miracles, healings, casting out demons. We think that they don't, you know, exist, or even it only happens to some. But just because I don't experience it, does that mean it's not true? Repentance brings us to this place then where we just simply align ourselves with what God actually says. Psalm 103 says he heals all our sicknesses and diseases. Yeah, but I've only seen some. The word says he heals all our sickness and diseases. So instead of making a theology out of my lack and of experience where I have seen people who we prayed for and they didn't get healed, instead of thinking, well, that actually determines how I then minister to people, have I repented enough to say, God, you're a good God. You're a God who heals. One of the self-revelation of God is I am the God that heals. In Exodus to Moses, as I am the God that heals you. Are we encouraged by that? Maybe I've done a little bit of a roundabout way, but in terms of that, repentance is, are we willing this evening to put our experience, our baggage aside, our lack of experience in maybe, well, I haven't seen a miracle, so I was this fellow that was 27 just coming down from Bargard, out there, yeah, from up north. Surely they can't, you know, people in Bargard experience that. I got to that place how long was that? It was 5 years, 4.5 years until I saw someone get healed. Why? Because my experience was God can't heal. I wouldn't say I was an out-and-out cessationist, but maybe God doesn't only wants to do these things with his real problems, like Africa. How dare I, isn't it? But he wants to heal each of us and all of us. Of course, we'll have ultimate healing one day. But I believe there's so much more. Eternal life begins now. And we get to experience divine life pulsating through us this evening. Peter actually says that he has given us great and precious promises that we, everyone say we, And turn to the person next to you, say, you are partakers of his divine nature. We've been that grafted in. And we are just funnels from heaven. I am nothing more. Gareth is nothing more. Tim and anyone, all of us in here, is nothing more than a drain pipe. A conduit. Yeah, that's the polite way of saying it, isn't it? Yeah. I heard Andy Watkins once from Connect Life years and years ago. He said, I'm nothing more than a drain pipe. I said, I like that. Mine's usually clogged up, you know, at my house. So there's things we've got to unclog to facilitate and allow the presence of Holy Spirit to flow in and out of us. I remember once, God gave us a couple of words of knowledge, and just the clock. No, we can't do that. You can't forget the clock. It's for your sake, that is. I'll be here all night. I remember once having three words of knowledge. Very strange words of knowledge. To me, they were very strange. I had to come to repentance to think, Lord, is this you? Because I doubted every single one of them. I believed I was going to see someone with an issue with their leg, left calf in particular, okay? The calf. Can't remember for the life, because this was about 5 years ago, and I can't remember if it was a right or left, but just go with me, it was one side or the other, okay? It's only going to be two, isn't it? Two of options. Anyways, I believe I was going to come across someone that had that issue. I also believe, I wrote down on my journal, that the word, these are the strange ones, Sherlock and butterfly. Now, words of knowledge are information. You might not have no interpretation whatsoever what the heck they are. They meant absolutely nothing to me. So I went out looking for these people, thinking I was going to come across someone who walked with a bit of a limp and a Sherlock Holmes hat on with maybe a big, huge butterfly wings on or something. I don't know. So maybe they were with a child that was dressed with a butterfly T-shirt or something like that. So I went out, and it was the most unsuccessful kind of time around where I went. It was awful. I felt like I was stalking someone in the end. I said, no, that can't be. A little bit of a limp, maybe. No, leave it now today. Let's just go home. Let's forget about it. That was the Saturday. I felt really depressed and really down, I got to admit, thinking, you know, I just spent 2 hours looking for a person. I thought God spoke to me that I was going to go and pray with them, and they were going to experience the kingdom of God for the first time. Quite disheartened. 4-5 days later, so that was the Saturday. This was the Thursday following. Being a drummer, I teach a bit of drums as well. I go to a house, very bad English, especially for a primary school teacher, isn't it? I go for a drum lesson in this person's house. And this lady and her husband was there, and just pretend this is the hallway, very nice house. And she was standing there, and she said, oh, how are you, Reese, et cetera, et cetera. I said, oh, I'm good. She said, how's the church? And I said, oh, yeah, good, you know. Just started it, you know, a couple of years ago now. And she said, you know, I've had to go down to the Heath or some hospital today. Like I said, it doesn't matter which one, but a hospital. And she said, I had to see a consultant because my calf is just completely swollen. So much so she can't get her leggings, you know, those kind of jeggings, legging things, you know, can't get them over her calf. It was that swollen. Compared to her other leg, it was tremendously, you know, different in size. And I thought, nah, it's the left leg I am. It's the right leg. And I was like, hang on a minute. Like that. And then I literally did that in the hallway. I know, kind of got to think of these things before you do it, isn't it, really? So anyways, she's there. And then all of a sudden, I thought, I'll say it. Go on, go for it, Reese. Tell her. I said, I believe I had a word of knowledge looking for someone, actually, that's got a similar problem. I didn't know it was what you specifically have, but it was certainly that area. Long story short, I thought, you know, I've got two other ones tucked away here, isn't there? Two other words of knowledge. Shall I give them, or shall I ruin what has just happened? Ruin the faith of this person that they believe God is going to heal them. I thought, okay, let's go. I thought, I'll start with the easier one out of the two. Does butterfly mean anything to you? I thought, leave Sherlock till the end, if, you know what I mean? Kind of, I was doubting that big time. Does butterfly, and she freaked out because she pulled back her ears like that, and she had butterfly earrings on. Like, clear as day. I thought, well, that's two out of three. Shall I ruin what's now, again, already a good kind of meeting or gathering place of a Kairos moment? Have you ever heard of those, a Kairos moment with this? Yeah, I don't need to teach them that, that's fine. Where God actually specifically comes and inbreaks your world right now, right here. I thought, shall I give this other one? I said, okay, Reese, just go for it, because you've got nothing to lose except your pride, and that's a good thing to lose. So I went, excuse me, does Sherlock mean anything to you? Well, this lady nearly fainted. I'm glad her husband was there. And basically, she said, how do you know that? I said, no, what? I know nothing. I just say, does it mean anything to you? She said, Sherlock was a nickname in school because her maiden name was Watson. So they always used to make fun of her, as in, say, nickname, it wasn't a nice one either. So it was kind of Sherlock Holmes, Dr. Watson, that kind of thing. Well, anyways, long story short, her husband was there. Said, can I actually pray for you? God is actually speaking to you that he wants to heal you of this calf problem. I wish we should have brought it, because I got it on DVD, because her husband filmed the whole thing. And we watched as he put a hand on the leg part, and I put my hand on his, etc. And all of a sudden, I even felt her leg decrease in size. And she went, no way. I said, what's it mean, no way? Because I said, did that move? And she went, yes, my leg moved. She wore her leg in, she couldn't get, kind of these, whatever they were called, on past her calf then. She was able then to actually get, because they were up past her knee, to get them past, right down past her, calf. Okay, I was going to say knee, calf again, not very good doctor, I mean, would I not know where things are? And she got these Jergens leggings past there. Then she stood up, went like this. And again, now her husband is funny because he's kind of filming her like this. And I go, this is amazing. Can I have that video and show everyone? And I showed everyone. Do you know what? Since declaring even that story, people with DVT and things like that, and specifically that was DVT. And I believe in God wants to heal that this evening as well. So, Jesus then showed what the kingdom of God looked like. Loving outcasts, befriending me and you called sinners, healing the oppressed, healing the sick, forgiving sins, caring for the poor, casting out demons, cleansing lepers, etc. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth in Acts 10:38 with the Holy Spirit and with power. And he went about what? Healing all who were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. Every time Jesus did a miracle, and what he's going to do this evening, he's actually reversing the effects of the fall. Humanity's plight. The bondage of the brokenness of humanity that Gareth alluded to earlier on. We all feel it sometimes. We all feel in this brokenness of God just wants to come in and set us free from stuff. He was alleviating human suffering and showed what the future kingdom of God looked like and what the current rule and reign of God looked like then. He embodied this kingdom. So that's where we are, and that's where you are this evening, with the family of God, on a mission with him to bring about total transformation in the lives of the people by the Holy Spirit, and nations will give glory to Jesus as the true sovereign Lord of over all creation. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And heaven declares the glory of God this evening. Because of the stories, like I said, it's less of a teach. We can do teaching if you want, that's fine. I remember going to a place and thought, I got this wonderful teach. Lovely 3 points in a poem. And, I'm joking. Lovely 3 points, a couple of stories, a couple of illustrations, really good communicate. I had this thing ready. And I thought, this is going to be a good one, Reese, this is. I think I'm going to need healing now if I'm not careful by here, aren't I? And you know what? As I went, and it's a similar thing this evening, I believe God just saying this, do you know what? Just go and show that I'm good. And that's kind of hard because I just prepped. I was for this kind of thing and I was willing to, give this word I thought was going to, and he went, Reese, it's not about you. It's about people. That's what it's really about. And so I'm less concerned of what I talk like now and just try to be a little bit more down to earth, as it were, honest, me in my own skin. Praise God, there's only one of me. I don't know what two would be chaotic. Do you know what I mean? Don't laugh. That's not nice, is it? It's you laughing. It's Philly people, isn't it? Go back to Bargo, I think. No, ears thinner up there. Jesus made the payment for our healing in full. The Bible says that God is the one that heals all our diseases, as we said. Salvation that wiped out the power of sin can also destroy affliction in the body. Salvation, Jesus purchased our salvation for us by basically bringing about healing, deliverance, and salvation. There's a funny word for that in the Greek, it's called sozo. I'm not talking about sozo ministry of a program in particular. I just mean that particular word. Is that the right way to say sozo, sozo? I've been corrected a couple of times, and when I change it, they kind of say, no, it's the other one. And then I say the other one, and they say, no, it's that one. I go, oh, whatever. It's sozo. In other words, God wants to save you, your whole person. Your emotion, your mind, your will, every single aspect. He's interested in each of our lives. There's one thing I've got healed of. I don't know if anyone had this or has this evening. It's Achilles, something like an Achilles issue. Has anyone had that before or have it? Anyone at all? Be honest, just kind of raise your hand. It encourages me. Have you had it or have it? You had it. It's painful, isn't it? I had kind of Achilles tendonitis because I was dull enough the week before I got married to play dodgeball with children on a summer camp. And I jumped up like that, and as you can imagine, I went straight down. I drove home, because I was in shock. It wasn't hurting. I drove home. How dull is that, isn't it? Foot on the clutch and everything. It went up like a balloon, and I was sat in Ystrad Hospital, because it was just brand new then. I'm thinking, I can't go on a honeymoon. Got a lovely honeymoon to Mexico. You know, just, you know, we obviously didn't have a house. We bought the house, and we're about to move in, literally next week, the day after we get married. So I was living with my mum. She was living with my mum. Every penny we earned, obviously, was nice, because you only had to pay board and lodge, no bills, no nothing like that. And so, and we had a good bit of money that we thought, let's go on a nice honeymoon. So I'm there now thinking, God, I can't go on a plane if I got in plaster. My mother-in-law's going to have to go. Do you know what I mean? And I said, Lord, I really don't want that. No. Anyways, do you know what? Found out it wasn't broken. Praise God. It was just severely injured where it kind of displaced. And the option was to have an operation then. And it really freaked me out there because it was going to be a painful operation, as you can imagine. You're putting all your weight on the back of your foot, aren't you? And the thing was, I remember watching people prayed for me. Everyone I knew that had the gift of healing or moved in that gift, rather. I'd rather say the gift of healing isn't something that you own. At the end of the day, you know, it's the Holy Spirit is the one that distributes the gifts, yeah? So don't believe that I own the gift of healing. You know, if someone doesn't need healing, what use is the gift of healing if they need a prophetic word, something of communicating God's heart to them? The best gift is whatever is the most needed gift at that particular time. Anyways, that's a nugget. You can have that. That's a sidetrack. But the thing was this. I totally, about 4 months later, I couldn't move. It was sore. I really didn't want an operation. It really freaked me out. It would be out of action, etc. And the particular place I worked for at the time, it was like a self-employed thing. So if I was out, that'd be it. No money, no income. So I was really worried. Randy Clark, I opened an email. Does anyone know Randy Clark? Yeah, yeah. Quite a hero of the faith of mine, really. Lovely, really genuinely lovely guy. Did a school for a 12-month back in 2011, a global awakening. And what happened, I opened an email thing that just came through. It was like a video kind of podcast thing. I never opened this. I know, considering I did the school, I never opened this kind of emails. So his email came through, and he just gives a word. And I said, you've got a problem with your left foot and it's your Achilles or your ankle area. And, you know, I'm sat now just having, like, fish and chips or whatever it was at the time. I'm thinking, you've got to be kidding me. I put my plate down back. He said, what's the matter? I'm be back now. I went upstairs, and I went. I was doing everything I know would make it hurt. The slightest flick of your Achilles, if you got it, Achilles tendonitis, would be incredibly painful. I remember weeping like a baby. I dropped to my knees and said, thank you, Jesus, so much that you've actually healed me of this. It went in an instant. When there was tremendous pain, I felt nothing. I experienced nothing. There was no angels from heaven doing glory in the highest and peace on earth, etc. And all of a sudden then, Jesus healed me. Some people might feel something. I'm not kind of people feel a lot. You know, they kind of feel sensations and etc. I'm not one for those. Okay? That's just me, but that's just who I am. Does it mean that your experience of God is not legitimate just because I don't experience that? Absolutely not. Does it make me kind of hard and hollow, you know, because I don't experience that? Absolutely not. It's just the way I'm wired. Just the way I respond to the presence of God. Obedience is better than sacrifice. The most simple definition of a disciple is probably just obey what he says. Follow, obey. You're following Jesus, you're being transformed by Jesus, and you're on mission with Jesus. That's a disciple. So do you believe this evening, even when you're having cups of teas, I'm assuming that's what you're doing here, you're having cups of teas, would you like a couple maybe of times, if you related to any of those testimonies, I'm going to hand back to Gareth because of time, as you encouraged by them for a start, encourage me if nothing else, if you're encouraged by them, I'm encouraged. Because when Jesus spoke, his words were spirit and they were life. As I said, this is the second time this year, in the last 3 months, I've not given a profound teaching on it. There's nothing profound, really. I don't think so. There's nothing profound in what I'm saying here. It's not a three-point thing. It's not a tidy sermon this evening. But what it is, dear, is I'm trying to cultivate an environment in the room when you can believe that God, what's impossible in your life, God can absolutely break through this evening. Would you like to be prayed for? Can you just stand a moment then? Because I know it's... What time do you usually? Is it around about now? Yeah. It's okay. I thought so. The orange watch is looking at me. Just put your hands out if you can. Between you. Some of you may be really quite maybe nervous of even coming and saying, Reese, would you pray for us? Or Gar, would you pray for us? Do you know, just put that aside. Just take a step of faith. Do something that you're kind of outside of your comfort zone and just come and ask this evening. And I really believe in that God will heal. And you'll have testimonies in the coming weeks of his tremendous breakthrough and power. Do you believe that?
Yes.
So say, Jesus, I thank you for who you are, that you were good, that you were faithful, that you're the healer, that you're our Savior, and you're our wonderful Counselor. Help me, Jesus, to repent, to change the way I think about the world, about myself, and about who you are. Lord, would you give me grace to see your kingdom come? Your will be done. And this is the key. I want you to verbally name your place of influence, your daily activities, where you are, to see your kingdom come in this school, this workplace, this family, this coffee shop. Is that okay? Go for it. You've got 10 seconds. Just pray. Just, ask God. Thank you, Jesus. Wonderful Jesus. That we see souls and more souls saved and set free from every generation, carrying kingdom revelation for Jesus' honor and glory. And I want you to just, before we go now, thank him for the healings that are about to take place, even when you're having a nice cup of tea. Just thank him in advance. That's the key, thankfulness for the smallest of things. There may be someone with something wrong with their left foot. I don't know. Maybe some people may be a bit shy to actually put their hands up and say. But I just got that impression then. I felt like I had a word of knowledge. That if you've got a problem, it might not even be the Achilles, but just that area, on the top of your left foot in particular, just come and speak to me specifically if you have a problem in that area. Is that okay? So if you're shy, don't worry. Just make sure you act upon that kind of thing. So be blessed, everyone. Thank you so much for having us, guys. It's, God's good. God is wonderful.
Thanks so much. Okay, so we got a logistical issue, obviously, with being in a school and a caretaker wanting to go home and so on. So.